Throughout the Advent season, we read the prophet Isaiah. And when I was reading this morning's passage, I said to myself, I am not sure what this is about. And one of the great gifts that we have are the commentaries that scholars who have been able to give the time to the study of Scripture are able to sort of fill it out for us. So in order to better understand that passage that Sheila read today, I want to give you the context that led Isaiah to write these words. So the time is around 700 years before Christ. And Isaiah is writing to the southern kingdom that is called Judah. Now you need to know that for the people in this part of the world, 21 years earlier, so this would have been the year 721 BC, the Assyrians, who were the dominant superpower of that era, had taken over the northern kingdom of Israel that had its capital at Samaria. And Israel was no more. So now, 21 years later, in the year 700 BC, the Assyrians are on the border of Judah, the southern kingdom, that has its capital at Jerusalem. And the king of Judah and the people of Judah are frightened. And they think, we need to do something in order to withstand the Assyrian attack. So they come up with a plan. Let's make an alliance with the Egyptians. Now think about that for a minute. The Egyptians? The Egyptians had been Israel's and Judah's perennial enemy. And what Isaiah is wanting to say to the people in the year 700 BC is, don't trust in the Egyptians. Rather, trust in the Lord. And one of the themes that comes through repeatedly in the writings of Isaiah is this understanding that do not become frightened by the geopolitical crisis around you. Rather, turn again to the Lord. And so with that kind of understanding in mind, we can better hear today's passage, where Isaiah says to the people two things. Listen to your true teacher, and as you listen to the way of God, it will influence how you live. So let me read again part of this morning's passage. Though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, that is, although you are being challenged by the Assyrian onslaught, the affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear the word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So who's the teacher? Of course, the teacher is the Lord. But he is speaking through his prophet Isaiah. And repeatedly, year after year after year, Isaiah said, follow the way of the Lord, walk in his teaching. And as we see repeatedly in Isaiah, he's a poet. And so he uses poetical language to talk about what it will mean for them to follow in God's ways. And he uses language of generosity, where the land will be fruitful. He speaks about bubbling brooks that will shoot up. And then there's this beautiful image that he uses where he says, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will be sevenfold, like the light of 7 days. Now, if you know the book of Revelation, at the very end of the Bible, it says there will be no more sun nor moon because God will be the people's light. And so what Isaiah is saying here is speaking to us about our hope in the ultimate fulfillment where God will be all in all. We call that the second coming. But how in the present, as we seek to follow in the ways of the Lord, he can give to our lives a unity, a purpose, and a direction. Well, it's beautiful that this text is set on this day. Because today we remember another crisis, The year was 374 AD. The city was Milan in Italy. And for at least a generation or two, the bishops of Milan had been Arians. What was an Arian? Arian bishops were those bishops who denied the divinity of Jesus Christ. And in the year 374 AD, they need to choose a new bishop. And there's a fight between the Arians on the one hand who say, we want another Arian bishop, and the Orthodox Catholics who now say, no, we've had enough of those Arians. We need one who believes in the true divinity of Jesus Christ. Well, at this time, a man by the name of Ambrose was a catechumen, meaning he wasn't even yet a Catholic. He was studying to become a Catholic. But he was the political leader of Milan. He was the governor. And so he'd heard about the fight that had broken out as they were going to choose a new bishop. And he went to the electors and he wanted to reconcile them and bring about the peace. And something remarkable happened. There was a unified voice that said, you, Ambrose, should be our bishop. But Ambrose said, I'm not even a Catholic yet. And they said, no, we insist, you should be our bishop. And he's so shaken by this that he runs away and goes into hiding. But eventually they find him and they persuade Ambrose to come back to Milan. And do you know what happens? On one day he's baptized, he's ordained a priest, and he's consecrated a bishop, all on one day. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of the church at any other time. And here's the remarkable thing about Ambrose. He led with conviction, with courage, at a time when the Roman Empire was imploding. And soon after, within a generation, the Vandals would come and destroy the empire. So it was a time of political crisis. And at such a time, Ambrose, like Isaiah, spoke the message to the people to walk in the ways of the Lord, to trust in the Lord. Although he's remembered for many things, the thing most significant about Ambrose is that a young man by the name of Augustine, who was a speechwriter for the emperor, and Milan was actually the capital at this time, that he started to go to hear Ambrose preach. And initially he went not because of the message of the gospel, but he just heard that Ambrose was such a great preacher and he wanted to learn from his rhetoric so that he could be a better speaker himself. But over time, the message of the gospel grabbed Augustine's heart. And in the year 387, after Ambrose had been the Bishop of Milan for 13 years, he baptized Augustine. He served for another 10 years, and Ambrose died in the year 397, having been the Bishop of Milan for 23 years. So what does this all mean for us? In every age, we have the challenge. Will we live fearfully because of what is going on in the world around us? Or even what might be going on in our own lives with the challenges that we face? Or will we seek to live trustingly in the teachings of the way of the Lord? Men like Ambrose and Isaiah remind us to trust in the Lord, as we prayed in today's calling. O God, who made the Bishop St. Ambrose a teacher of the Catholic faith and a model of apostolic courage, raise up in your church men after your own heart to govern her with courage and wisdom. Church always needs such leaders, because the church always needs those who will help God's people to listen to the voice of the Lord, follow his teaching, and to walk in his ways. St. Ambrose, pray for us.